B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is this our new 12 o'clock song on Thursdays? I think it is.
Not really new.
What
Where
is
have
now?
You been? No, no, it has been for weeks. Where's this guy been?
Well, I wasn't here 1 week. I haven't been here a couple Thursdays.
Woo! They even have graphics and a sing-along going on the TV.
Didn't know that. That got me excited. I saw it up there. This works. I like it. I think we keep it.
Karaoke.
Yeah, we decided that 5 weeks ago that we're going to keep it, so.
Gotta kill your dream. Another great drum solo, by the way.
I love this.
Oh, you're not watching a simulcast. You're going to have to watch next Thursday at noontime for the karaoke. That's great.
You know what? Last Thursday, we were at Warrior, so I kind of didn't get it. You know what I mean? Doesn't feel the same over there. That's all. Because of the delay, we can't get into it. So we sort of back off and we get fired up about a song when we're on location. That's all. Just leave it. What's up? Stack of poo.
All right, get to the news drop. What do you got?
Court procedures, and it is common to file in that manner and demand that the defendant will be there. Robert Kraft does not have to be there. He will not be there in person.
The ESPN story says, though the court order says Kraft, quote, must be present or face a bond forfeiture and a warrant for his arrest, the rules of criminal procedure allow Kraft's lawyer to waive his presence at the arraignment.
Which he will do. He will also be at the owners' meetings in Phoenix and probably will not speak, but may speak.
That doesn't feel like information to me.
Well, yeah, I think there's time between now and then. But he is going to, what you asked, is he even going to go to the owner's meeting? The owner says yes. He will be there.
That's good to know. Yeah. That is information.
That is
the
information.
Part about talking, though, does not sound like a piece of information.
Well, I don't think a final decision has been made yet. That's all. But it is open. No, I thought it was case closed. He will not speak until this thing's over.
So what you're saying is it is
there's a possibility he will speak at
him
the owner's meeting.
This is how I would phrase it if I were you, right?
Yeah.
Scott Solak is reporting. Robert Kraft will be at the owner's meetings in Phoenix. And he and the team have not yet ruled out him speaking at those owners' meetings.
Sounds good.
Okay, put that in your tweets.
Yeah, let that stand. Okay. I don't need to tweet that out.
There you go.
We got our own show here.
Well, it's a report.
Yeah, I'm not a reporter.
But you just reported something. That's news.
Yeah.
Has not yet ruled out speaking at the owners' meetings.
Correct.
Okay. There you go. The way you said it before, that's not how I would have phrased that.
Yeah, whatever.
That's good. Good stuff. Thank you. 617-779-0985. Adam.
Take a serial call.
A serial call.
Yeah.
Well, can we take one real call? Because Adam in Boston's been waiting a while. Sure. I want to get him on. Adam, go ahead. Uh-oh. Hold on, Adam.
Good call.
Hold on. Try now.
Adam?
Adam? Going once? Nope.
Excellent.
Gone. Okay. Now we go to Bob in Watertown.
Hey, Bob.
Hey. Yes, this is Bob.
Oh, are you Watertown?
I'm Bob from Watertown.
Oh, yes, hey, sir. Bob.
Okay, now that we have
How are you? Here's a little trivia about Cereal Day. Hmm. Mrs. Kellogg's is attributed with the inventor of modern-day cereal. And basically, she and her husband ran a hospital out in, I'm trying to think of the name of the town here.
Battle Creek, Michigan?
Yeah. There you go. And so she used to slave hours over the stove making a granola for the residents there. And she wanted to come up with something that was a little easier to make. And she came up with cornflakes and basically wanted to come up with a breakfast cereal that those that didn't have the abilities to do any cooking on their own could serve themselves breakfast and get a good start on the day. So that's where it all started with Mrs. Kellogg's.
Very nice.
Is there like a museum like that, like a Kellogg's museum you could tour and go to find some of these cool facts? Maybe see the bowl that she actually put the stuff in, or the baking sheet that she was making for workers. Partake of the granola. Personally, I'd actually go for the granola bar. I think that would be easier to grab instead of getting boxes and putting them in cereals and bowls and get the milk. And
there are those of us who enjoyed the story about Mrs. Kellogg. I don't know why you have to disparage
Mrs. Kellogg's. It's plural. Kellogg's.
No, it's not.
He said Kellogg's.
It's Kellogg's cereal, but her name.
He said Mrs. Kellogg's.
Well, he was incorrect about that. She was married to, I believe, John Harvey Kellogg.
Right. Her name was Ella Eaton Kellogg.
What's she eating in there?
Very.
I'm laughing. Eat more cereal.
Highly educated person for her time.
Yeah.
Was a teacher.
Nice.
Postgraduate work as well. And then she married Kellogg.
Now, your kids like these little treats, and your wife's pretty handy with like the school snack stuff and all that. Does she ever experiment with like the Rice Krispie treats or any of the granolas? Like, there's a lot of moms.
No,
that
I don't think so.
The homemade granolas, Hardy. Does yours?
Yeah.
Really?
Experiments with granola?
My wife.
Like, they make your granola bag. Then they make little baggies.
My wife
like,
makes granola.
Yeah.
Yeah, Marcy makes granola.
Okay.
Is it like, much,
once,
how much better
once
is it
twice a year? Oh, it's phenomenal.
I know. That's what
it's
I heard.
It's so good.
I heard once you do that, you can never buy the stuff in stores again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's delightful.
It's not experimenting with it, though. It's
well, yeah, you try different.
You could add anything, dude, like dehydrated apples and stuff. You know, if some kids don't like raisins, take that out of there. Some like chocolate chips. Yeah, you could add a lot of stuff. Honey?
Andrew's in Medford on the Celtics. Hi, Andrew.
Just cooking shows.
Hey, guys. Good show. Thanks for taking the call.
Debatable.
It's pretty good. I wanted to ask, what are you guys actually taking away from this two-game win streak? I just feel like...
They got their heads out of their asses a little bit. I'll take that out of it.
I agree with you, but... I agree not taking anything away, but I don't know how much to give them. It's like we beat sleepwalking Golden State and Zoe's bunch of kids, Sacramento.
Yeah.
I just don't know how much... Like, how much adversity did they actually face on this two-game road trip?
But how much have you watched this team over the last 2 weeks stand around as a bunch of individuals and wait for someone to make a play or bitch about somebody making a play or talk about the room being toxic and they can't wait to get away from each other and one guy can't wait till he's done playing so they have to deal with cameras even though he's making two movies out of it?
Yeah, you make it.
I mean, they're playing. They play together as a team, and I think they deserve credit for that.
You make it.
They look engaged.
You make it sound like Golden State's game plan was to go out there and sleepwalk and lose the game. Did it have anything to do with
Golden
the fact
State.
That the Celtics jumped out to an 11-0 lead?
Showed up ready to play, and I give them credit for that.
Jumped out to an 11-0 lead and kept their foot on their necks and kept their foot on the gas and increased that lead to 25 at the half and ended up winning by 33. I mean, you break someone's will early, even in this league, it counts for something.
I agree with everything that you're saying, but I'm just a little bit sick of this kind of Celtics team. It just seems like we're giving a team of superstars credit for what they're supposed to do, and maybe
we are. You know why? Because they weren't doing it.
Yeah.
And so I'm not making any sort of predictions about how the rest of their season goes, Andrew.
No, and that's
I don't know if they've turned it around or not, but at least they stopped sucking for a couple of nights.
Yeah.
At least they stopped looking like a bunch of quitters for a couple of nights.
I said they got to string a bunch of these together.
Played as a team. They played a more aggressive style.
Yeah.
They seemed to come together when they hadn't seemed to do that in a very long time.
On Monday.
And it's not really credit. It's just an acknowledgement of what we've watched the last two nights.
How many times you see a guy make a play and the team just stands around and does nothing? Did you see the bench the other night against Golden State? Sorry, Hardy. Gordon Hayward slam. And that's Hayward, a guy that really hasn't been engaged to me. Looks lost out there at times. And the whole freaking bench and the people behind him are going nuts. Tells me they're into it.
Did you like them to win the Eastern Conference Sunday night after the Rockets game before they played Golden State this week?
I liked them.
I would have said Monday,
and by the way, this still may be true, but Monday I was thinking more, they're going to get bounced in the first round versus they're going to the finals.
Do you like them to win the Eastern Conference now?
No.
Neither do I.
I still don't. The same.
So we haven't changed that. I'm not taking anything away, and I want to give them credit for back-to-back wins. That I don't care if they were sleepwalking
today
through the last half
of that
game.
Today you
feel
like they're getting out of the first round.
They kicked the crap out of Golden State a couple nights ago. And last night they won in the second night of back-to-backs without Kyrie Irving. That's noteworthy. That deserves some accolades, and I give them credit for it. Do I think now that they've magically found the answer and they're going to turn around and sweep through the East and make it in the nope, I don't feel that way. But to say that they don't deserve anything for it. Or as Maz said yesterday, it means nothing. Zero. Zilch. Nada. It means something. It means something that this team is capable of doing something, whereas before, we're starting to question. Maybe Kyrie and Gordon Hayward and Al Horford and Jason Tatum and Jalen, maybe they can't play together. I don't know. We hadn't seen much evidence of it recently. Now we've seen some evidence in the last couple of games. I'll give him credit.
We'll continue talking about this. The Celtics, the Robert Kraft court date being moved. He does not have to appear. He will be at the owners' meetings, according to Zoe.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
No, it didn't work out, Charlie, but what did you hear about everything else that Kyler Murray did when he was in Indianapolis?
Well, you better hope Kingsbury takes him number one, because this was not good. This was the worst comments I ever got on a high-rated quarterback.
Really?
And I've been doing this a long time. I'm probably doing it longer than you're alive anyway.
You have. That's why I said, leadership. Really?
Yes, leadership, not good. Okay, study habits, not good. The board work, below not good. Not good at all in any of those areas, see?
It was Charlie Casserly on NFL Network. He's faced a lot of crap for saying the things that he said there.
He should. I shot some holes through that stuff that he was blabbering about. Found out a kid doesn't have any character or leadership ability or study habits through a 1 hour, 2 hour interview. Give me a break.
There's something new to add to this.
What do you got?
Someone else has said something that is perceived to be critical of Kyler Murray, Dan Patrick. Talking about this, talking about Charlie Casserly and the criticism that he has received in response to his comments on Kyler Murray. Dan Patrick has added a little bit of fuel to the fire. Here he is on his show.
I did talk to a scout last night, and this is a guy who's been great. He's been upfront with me. He'll tell me sometimes when he doesn't have a grade on somebody or he hasn't looked at their tape. But talked to my source last night, and I asked him about, did you hear these Charlie Casserly comments on Kyler Murray? He said, I haven't read them, but we have talked about this. Not surprised, especially after your interview and watching his dad during the interview. There's no question about his arm and athletic ability. His speed will be hard to defend. Watching Oklahoma prior to the playoffs, his arm ability is legit. Two things that were unusual. Number one, his drop was very deep, 10 yards, which isn't common for protection purposes in the NFL. And number two, he really goes down easily. One thing that hasn't changed is the physicality of the hits he'll be exposed to. And then I tell him, thank you. And then he goes, also, I think that his height was inflated. Maybe it's the tinfoil hat theory. I just don't see it. If he refuses to measure at the pro day, that will be telling. So
I agree with that.
I got a lot there.
He's going to let his height stand where it is?
I guess. But that was from a former NFL scout that I spoke to last night.
That's an NFL scout or former NFL scout talking to Dan Patrick, telling him there are some questions about his interview ability based on his public appearances that he's done. So
this is easy, though. Like, if you're going to go into this, you're going to take a guy with you. Here's what I do. If I'm a scout, I'm going to go at his pro day.
Okay.
I'm bringing a guy from my organization that is exactly 5'10". No questions asked. No, 5'10". And I go, we're going to go and we're going to talk to him, and I want you to stand next to him. And when I'm not going to tell the kid, and I don't want red flags to go up. I'm not telling Oklahoma. We're coming in to measure him. I want you to stand there, and I want to see the eye test right there. And all you got to do is stand back 5 feet. Oh, yeah, he's definitely taller than you, or he's taller than him. And don't forget, he's got some hair on top of his head.
All right, now, Zoe, tell me.
I cheated during the combine.
Yes. Tell me how you cheated on the height at the combine. Well, because you've admitted this before. Yeah, I was telling Jim.
Yeah, I told
Jim,
this story before.
Jim didn't recall this story and hadn't heard it. I said, Zoe's told this story on the air before.
So good job by my former agent, Ralph Sindrich, at the time. gives you some tips, you know, prior to going into the combine as to how you can skate on some things. And obviously you go in barefoot and they measure you. And I measured 6'5 and a quarter, 222 pounds. So there, boom, that sticks. You know, the Brady picture where he's shirtless. You can't fudge that. So then you usually test in about groups of 12 to 14. And they rotate you through the drills. So you know that vertical jump test where they got to jump up and slap those things that are sticking out, those little slats?
Yeah.
So you walk through each guy and you put your hands straight up above your head. And you just walk through with the shoes on that you're going to jump on. Jump in. And you just swipe your hand over it. So that's your beginning point. That's ground zero from where they measure, you know, your vertical from that point.
So do you alligator arm that one a little bit?
Nope. Because they lock your hand out. They hold your hand up and they lock it. Then you go back around. You take the shoes off and I put on a pair of different shoes. So the pair of shoes that I measured in initially, I had a scalpel and I took an old pair of running sneakers. And you cut out the heel area to where you almost go flat to the ground. You laugh.
Cut out the foam inside the sole.
Carve it out so my heel is down when I'm measuring and my toes are in the air, sort of.
To get like an extra inch.
And then I put on a new pair. I got the pair of Nike Air Maxes were out at that time. That's brand new Nikes. This is back early 90s.
And then some Dr. Scholl's inserts.
About four of them. You laugh. About four pairs of those. So I've already fudged an inch and a half. I just wanted to get over 30, which I never got. I was like 28 and a half.
Vertical jump. Is there a way you can cheat getting measured? Do they do it with
there
sneaker?
There isn't there. I don't think there is there. Now, he has the hair twists on top, and maybe he keeps his hair long on top and twists it. Who's pushing down, or was the guy actually pushing down? You know, like when you go to a doctor's office, your kid's getting measured.
Right, right.
They stand you against the wall, put your back up, put your chin up, and they push that thing down, that plastic slatted part. Now, did they just let that rest on top of Kyler Murray's head, or did they push it down? Now, if I'm a scout, I bring a guy that's exactly 5'10" with me and make him stand next to him. Then I back up and look. That's all. Without setting off flags everywhere. The kid can play. Okay? I mean, we're getting
into the kid can throw the football. Yeah. He surely can do that. He could definitely play at the college level.
But if you're one of the
But he wouldn't be the first guy who's played great at the college level who then didn't translate in the NFL.
Sure. But I mean, if you're one of those big height people, like you need that 6'3 or more, I wouldn't touch the kid. Wouldn't touch him.
I wouldn't. I don't do short quarterbacks.
Yeah.
It's not a thing that's I would all. Do.
Do it on your own time. Right.
Do that. Do short quarterbacks on your time.
There you go.
Short quarterbacks. I'm out on that. Even though some have worked out. Russell Wilson, best example of it.
Baker,
I love Russell
Baker
Wilson.
Baker Mayfield is slightly taller
I think Russell
than him,
Wilson's great.
Yeah.
And yet, if I were in charge of that team, I wouldn't have drafted him. So, hey, good on them for doing that.
Right.
But not something I would do. Let's go to the calls. Adam in Boston is back on the line. What's up, Adam?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey. What's up there?
So I just wanted to heard a couple of things. First, that you guys thought maybe this could all be over by training camp or the beginning of the season or something with Bob Kraft.
Yes.
I don't think that's possible because here's how the procedure goes normally.
Okay.
So now they're going in for an arraignment, right? An arraignment is where you make your plea and you're formally charged by the government. Then you pick another date called a pretrial conference, which can be 1 to 2 months later.
Okay.
Then you go in on the pretrial conference, you fill out some paperwork, you exchange some evidence back and forth, and you pick another procedural date called the compliance and election date, which is going to be another 1 to 2 months later, where you go in and you make sure that everybody has given each other the evidence they need. And if you're ready for trial, then you pick a trial date. And judges' trial calendars are completely packed all the time. And I'd say minimum 6 months before you even get that trial date. And that's only if everybody's ready and everybody's schedules match up and there's no delays for any procedural reason.
Even with misdemeanors as these are being discussed.
Absolutely, even with misdemeanors. I mean, I'm a criminal attorney and I represent people with misdemeanors all the time. Shoplifting, these things go on for a long, long time. And I think, you know, we might see the Patriots, this still going on when they're hoisting up trophy number 7. And this was the chip on their shoulder this time that did it for them this year.
That's a weird chip to have on your shoulder. That is a weird, weird chip. Adam, let me ask you this. The defense team believes there are grounds for dismissal, when can they request that?
So what happens is you do your arraignment. Normally, you'd actually do that probably between the C and E and the trial date. So once you get all your evidence back and forth,
so it's a little
you say to the
away.
Judge, all right, I don't want to put this on for trial yet, Judge. I want to put this on for a motion to dismiss. And then you have what's called an evidentiary hearing where you make your motion and based on, you know, lack of probable cause or, you know, a lot of these things sure. that they're arguing, Fourth Amendment issues, you can get it dismissed before trial. That's true.
All right. Adam, appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Take
all
care,
right.
guys.
All right, but, all right. So that would indicate it goes on. It just drags on.
Even what would be the,
even
what
if
would
they
the
do believe they're... Even if they do file to dismiss the
what
case.
Chip as a team would you play?
I have no idea.
We're going to play for them.
Move it. Keep moving those dates.
I don't
keep
know.
Moving those dates. I don't know what it is that they would be playing for at that point. But let me say this. If that's true, if it's going to take that long to wind through the courts, then there is no danger of missing the start of the season for the owner of the Patriots.
Might not be. I don't know. I hear new stuff on this all the time. Like, it's something different every day.
Again, we're not lawyers. We just pretended to be during Deflategate.
Yeah.
That's what I like to say.
And physics.
Yes.
Member of the physics club.
Yes.
Physics club.
Yes. Jay's in the car. And Jay, go ahead.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Appreciate the show.
Thanks.
Hey, I'd like to pose a question that hopefully can be asked over the next couple days as you guys cycle through your topics, but... I just, in listening to the show the other day, they're talking about Kraft and they're talking about how he can get out of this or how there's not enough evidence or what he, ultimately, I'd like people to ask when they talk about Kyrie or Kraft, who's the better or worse leader right now for the city of Boston?
I don't even
what?
Know.
What?
That's ridiculous.
Hardy has headlines.
Come on, guys, debate.
What?
Let's go. I want an answer.
Over the next couple of days.
Let me think about it for the next couple of days.
As we cycle through our topics?
Yes.
Do we get to include Mayor Walsh in there? I mean, if we're talking about leaders for the city of Boston.
Just do those headlines for us.
He was out shoveling the other day. You see him?
Yeah, he was. Shoveling out that hydrant.
Right? Don't save those spots, Boston. You can't save your spots. Okay, pick up your stuff and it'll be thrown in the trash.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
Zolak and Bertrand at 12:38. Zo, you might need to...
I'm efforting right now.
Yeah. So, Kyler Murray, along with doing his awkward interview with Dan Patrick, also did a pizza review with Dave Portnoy at Barstool Sports, which I'm currently watching without sound. And, I don't know, they look pretty similar in height. He is slightly taller than Portnoy. So we got to find out the exact measurements on Dave Portnoy to know how tall he is next to Kyler Murray. Ooh.
I took a picture next to Portnoy at the after party. I think I was above him pretty good.
You're 6'5".
Oh, wait, he's texting back. Hold on.
All right, what's he saying? Da-da-da-da. What's he got?
Drum roll.
And I want his take on the height, too.
He said, this is a quote-unquote from El Press. Yeah. I am 5'10", exactly. No point zeros, not like a pizza review, 0.1, 0.3. Rookie move. He was exactly my height. I looked at him eye to eye.
Yeah, I'm looking at this video, and
he said the hair
the hair makes him look taller for Kyler Murray.
People are having issues with the hair. That's where they think they got this.
It feels like this place they're standing outside the pizza shop, like it might be sort of sloping down a little bit.
Yeah.
They have Portnoy standing to the right, Kyler Murray to the left, and I think where Portnoy is standing, it might be a little
Press
a little
said
lower.
He'd love to be 6 feet tall. He's not. He's been fighting his whole life. He's 5'10" exactly.
Okay. So, but that would indicate that Kyler Murray's 5'10", right? That he's truly a 5'10 guy. That he's not 5'9", he's not 5'8", he's not...
Yeah. He's in the ballpark, 5'10". Not much more.
Short quarterbacks. Yeah. Short.
I mean, if you're arguing over half an inch, this is ridiculous, then don't take the kid. If it's a difference between 5'10 and 5'10 and a half, it's the same guy. Unless you're arguing if he's 5'10 or 6 feet, you're talking a whole different 2 inches. But if you're gonna nickel and dime over a quarter of an inch or a .4.
No, but he's not 5'8", the point.
Right, he's not 5'8", is what I'm saying.
He's not 5'8". Correct.
Is that he is legitimately closer to 5'10".
Hey, there's some people in this game that think you need to be at least 6 feet tall to play the position. Because you got 6'8" tackles, okay?
Me.
You're right.
6 feet and up.
Hey, I've thrown interceptions.
Six foot minimum. I think 6'6" is too tall.
What?
I think 6 feet to 6'5". I think anybody taller than 6'6" is out.
It's lopey. Yeah, you become lopey.
You don't want to be Brock Osweiler.
Right.
How tall is Brock Osweiler?
6'7".
Yeah, that feels like a little much.
Yeah, it does.
How tall is Flacco? Flacco feels tall, too.
He's 6'6". 6'5", 6'6". But I've gotten in problems where I've thrown interceptions because you can't see a linebacker that's dropped because you have a tackle or a guard at 6'5" or 6'6" in front of you. That's right at your eye level.
And you're 6'5".
And I'm 6'5".
So then take 7 inches away.
Hey!
And how the hell would you have seen anything?
We should get Dougie Flutie on. Interview him.
Don't you want short arms as a quarterback now that I think of it? Compact release?
Yeah, like Garoppolo's not like some big guy, but that's
how... You don't want some big wind-up.
Yeah, short arms, big hands, right?
I don't want a knuckle-dragger playing quarterback.
Yeah.
Then you get the long Terry Collins wind-up.
All right, Steve Young was 6'2".
Yeah.
And Steve Young, I think it was his football life... talked about being a short quarterback at 6'2".
Right. Well, the whole percentage at that time was 6'5 or better.
I can't remember if it was when he had, when Walsh was still there. And then it went straight to Mariucci, right? Was there anyone in between?
No, Seifert was in between.
Oh, George Seifert. Yeah. Yes, I think it was George Seifert. Now that we're getting to this. Told him just let it fly. If you think the guy's there, let it fly. And he had Jerry freaking Rice, so easier to do it then with that guy. And he just did. He started taking gambles. He started taking risk. And it worked out for him because he had a great receiver. So it worked out for him. But even at 6'2", Steve Young said he struggled at times to see down the field and see things. So I'm out on the short quarterbacks. Out on short quarterbacks. Erickson and Lynn. Eric?
Hey. Have a good day, Eric.
Hey, Beetle.
Hey, what's up? You got something on Trey Flowers?
Is that your mother?
Yeah. No. I'm working. I'm just working right now.
Okay.
Anyways, yeah, Trey Flowers, I heard his comments about he wants 7.
Yes.
So that made me think, like, you think we have something around the corner, like a new contract maybe very soon?
Let's do this, Eric, and appreciate the call. Audio of Trey Flowers. Have a listen. That's not Trey Flowers.
That's a moon howl, and that's a Coldplay song. And
he was at the Springfield T-Birds game. Springfield T-Birds, the AHL team, military appreciation night. Trey Flowers puts on the T-Birds jersey. He's got some words for the crowd.
Patriots, defensive and number 98, Trey Flowers.
I like this guy.
I just want to say, you know, thanks for everybody in the New England area, you know, showing the Patriots support. We couldn't have did it without y'all. This number 6, we want 7. We want 7. Yeah.
That seemed like a guy that's flying a coop.
No, it doesn't seem like a guy who wants to leave. I can tell you that.
Probably talk to some people here locally, huh? Like, hey. Let's go through the process. We'll take care of any of them. We're not gonna tag you. We don't want to tag you. Good player. We like you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
First, our introduction.
Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand here at 12:50. From our Town Fair Tire studios today, we go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Welcome in the head coach of the New England Revolution. Brad Friedel is with us. Hi, Coach. How are you?
Very good. How are you guys doing?
Good, Coach.
Coach, nice start to the season. 1-1 draw against a pretty good team there in Dallas on the road. Are you satisfied with that result?
I always want 3 points, but I was satisfied with the focus of the players and the effort, especially the second half. I thought... FC Dallas didn't pose us too many problems on the day, and that's a tribute to the work that the players put in. And we had another good week of training, and we're looking forward to the game against Columbus.
Early season weather issues, not to bring it up, but it's going to be a high of 38 for the home opener on Saturday. How tough is that on the team? I know you guys got to practice indoors, but...
Well, we trained outdoors today, so
okay, good.
That's going to be a step in the right direction then, because it wasn't very warm today. I don't think it'll have any bearing from our side of things. I think if we were playing a team from a warmer climate, it would be a pretty big advantage for ourselves. But we're playing against Columbus, who's got the cold weather as well. So I think both teams will be able to adapt to the weather.
I think Mariner said it last week. He said, "Oh, it's perfect soccer weather." He couldn't wait to get home for this game on
ball's
Saturday.
Nice and soft.
Yeah, he says it's great.
Yeah, we got fortunate against Dallas, to be honest with you. If you have Dallas away from home in June, July, August, September, that is a clear advantage for them. That's a very difficult place to play. So we got lucky with regards to when we... Not only when we played, but then the weather as well. Having about 50 degrees and rainy, that was perfect.
How challenging do you find the MLS calendar versus the calendar in Europe? You know, when you played in England, where it can snow there anytime too. But is this worse when you're talking about 30 degree temperatures, or like last week, Colorado and Portland played? It was 18 degrees, and they played in that.
Yeah, it is definitely. And when you're signing players from outside of the United States, this is a big talking point that you have to make sure that the players understand. The big difference on the travel, the time that you are traveling, the time difference, and then the climates and the surfaces that you play on. Yes, that's definitely a challenge that you have to adapt to and try to overcome. And everybody in the league has to deal with it, but that is a big change from over in Europe. That's no doubt.
Which leads me to my next question. I'm going to keep asking you about this every week, and that is on the search for the latest designated player for you. You know, do you think anything is imminent? Is anything going to happen in the near future before the primary transfer window closes?
Well, that's what we're working towards. I mean, imminent? Yes, we will be signing a DP, and we're very much hoping that it comes. Sooner rather than later. It's difficult sometimes to get the player that you want, especially if they're over in Europe in the middle of their season. And we're working towards that. So imminent, yes, we will be getting our man that we want to bring in, and we are working around the clock on the timing of that. But I do think it's important that we get the right man with the type of funds we're talking about investing.
Mm-hmm. So as far as the players that are here now, Carlos Heel had the equalizer on Saturday. It was a pretty nice goal. I mean, he went near side when he didn't have to. Is that what we can expect from this player going forward?
Yeah, Carlos is a very technically gifted player, and he's used to playing with and against a lot of very good teams and very good players. And we also have a lot of very good players in this squad, and he'll fit in really nicely to that. And he'll he'll help make teammates better, and other teammates will help make him better. And but he's very he is very creative around the box, and he's also very creative in link-up play. And you know, he'll no doubt help the team going forward.
Coach, I know it's a far way off, May 15th, but pretty cool event at Gillette Stadium is going to take place. You guys are going to go against Chelsea in a I'll say a friendly match to raise funds for a certain cause. That's got to be something you guys look forward to and pack the place.
Yeah, we'll look forward to that, no doubt. And I think the most important thing is why we're doing it, and the funds being being raised, and the charities that it will go towards. That's the most important. And I get to see some old friends. There's a couple of one of my old teammates on the coaching staff, and another old very good friend of mine. So it'll be nice seeing some familiar faces. And I also think it'll be a good time for some of our new players and players maybe that haven't been over to Europe to play and see up close and personal some of the players from one of the world's elite teams. So I think all around it's a very good thing.
Okay, non-soccer question to close it out here.
Well, that's some fun here.
Today is National Cereal Day. We've spent some time talking about cereal today. We had Tori Krug from the Bruins on earlier. We'll ask you the same question. Favorite cereal?
I'm going to have to just go old school. I'm Cheerios guy.
Cheerios. Okay.
Now, so, straight up Cheerios, or do you go Honey Nut?
No, straight up. You can't, why do the Honey Nut when...
Because they Cheerios taste better?
Yeah, he'd order a Honey Nut then. But he would order the Honey Nut. You see? Now, I know where they feed you underneath, and you guys get about the same type of stuff as the football team. They do a hell of a job down there, and they will answer some requests to be brought in. And I played on teams where guys didn't like certain bread. I want Wonder Bread brought in because that's the type of bread, and they'll bring it in. Do you have any weird requests from players, maybe not from the country? Like, I need to eat these certain type of fried bugs, you know, for breakfast in the bowl.
Is there fried bugs? What country is that?
Fried plantain?
Yeah, okay. Fried plantain.
Yeah. Well, we do get requests. There's no doubt about that, and you're also absolutely right. The chefs here do a remarkable job in the quality of service and the quality of food that we get. And I'd have to go to our nutritionist and find out the request. But I do know every now and again they come to my office and say, is this okay to have something? I'd have to ask them to get what it is. But, yes, they do a remarkable job. And, yes, we do try to cater to some of the requests for some of the players that are not used to the diet and the menu that we have here to provide them.
But let it be known, Brad Friedel, straight up Cheerio guy.
Just regular old guy.
Probably the most, you know, if you're talking about sales in the country, like, it has to be number one. Cheerios. Everyone
no, it's
Cheerios
honey. It's point. Honey Nut Cheerios is number one. Coach, do you do milk, almond milk? You put sugar on it, bananas,
soy
anything?
Milk,
not almond milk. Okay. And I might go to 2% or whole milk. I'm not too picky with that.
Real man.
No sugar on it.
A little stevia?
Nothing.
A little sweet and low?
No sweeteners.
Oh, God.
Sometimes some fruit, but that's it.
Okay.
Nice. All right, Coach. Appreciate the time as always.
Thanks, Coach. Good luck
right,
Saturday.
Guys.
Take it easy.
Thank you. Bye.
Brad Friedel with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
Listen it up there. Huh?
Yeah, we're getting to that, Friedel.
We're going to crack that code.
We're getting to him.
Yeah.
We're getting to him.
We're loosening him up a little bit.
He likes us.
He does.
Yeah, he thinks we're strange.
It took him 8 months.
I think we're friends. I think we're friends now.
What'd you say, Zoe?
I didn't get it all out. I scared the hell out of him one day down at Gillette. I saw him walk by me in the hallway. Hey! He's like, Jesus! I'm like, I'm the guy he talked to on the radio. He goes, oh, man, he scared me. Like, hey!
I think he's our friend now. Well, let's go to someone else in Foxborough. Derek in Foxborough. Hi, Derek.
What's
up there?
Well, you know, given that it's National Cereal Day, I thought I'd chime in.
Of course.
Well, I agree with you on the Crunch Berries. Uh-huh. But see, I don't go with the regular Crunch Berries. I go with the specialty ones with just the berries.
Oh.
That's so much better. Those yellow bits are disgusting.
So you will take the berries out of the cereal?
No, they sell it.
They sell them.
They sell the separated berries.
Uh-huh. Yeah, a lot of the big supermarkets don't have it, but if you go to like a Walmart, they'll sell them. And yeah, so
just
the berries.
Yeah,
I think at that point you've got tricks, do you not?
No, it's so much better than the tricks. The tricks aren't as sexy as the Crunch Berries.
Yeah. Oh, the tricks are for kids.
Well, you have to look for them at Walmart because oftentimes that has to be prescribed by a doctor. This is not over the counter type of cereal. I need you to prescribe me berries only crunch
sexy.
Berry, please.
Bring him to me.
The yellow chunks are disgusting.
I'll have some fava beans. I said, I can't.
What the hell happened?
I love him. He's
you know, they
great.
Do the all marshmallow Lucky Jesus Charms Christmas. And they were doing a sweepstakes. And my kids, it was like Willy Wonka's golden ticket. They're like, buy more Lucky Charms for another chance to win the all marshmallow box. I'm like, yeah. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so once you go through a couple few boxes, Mike, it's just going to be cheaper to buy one. You go online. You know how much they are?
How much?
They're like $60.
What?
Yes. They're very expensive. So we tried a couple more times, they didn't win, and that's it. You got to learn to live with disappointment in life.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.